Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Joyce Barry and Friends.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com. Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Indeed, may it be your best year ever. Welcome to our show today, folks, celebrating the July 4th weekend, and we are so delighted that you are here with us to celebrate together. Independence Day, commonly known as the 4th of July, is a federal holiday in the United States commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, declaring independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. Independence Day is commonly associated with fireworks, parades, barbecues, carnivals, fairs, picnics, concerts, baseball games, family reunions, political speeches and ceremonies, and various other public and private events celebrating the history, government, and traditions of the United States. Independence Day is the national day of the U.S. some of the most popular quotes. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That from the Declaration of Independence, July 4, 1776. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. That from Abraham Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address, 1863. Let every nation know whether it wishes us well or ill. We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and success of liberty. That by John Kennedy. This nation will remain the land of the free only so long as it is the home of the brave. By Elmer Davis. Freedom is the oxygen of the soul. Moishai Dayan. Hamilton Fish says, if our country is worth dying for in times of war, let us resolve that it is truly worth living for in time of peace. Beautiful quote by Hamilton Fisher. Dick Cheney says, it's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you. Bill Clinton says, there's nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured by what is right with America. And Abraham Lincoln, those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves. Carolyn Hall, you were so excited to celebrate July 4th with us and with our listeners. What makes it special for you?
Well, it's a great reminder. It's a great reminder that this is our day to, well, just to remember that we are free. I mean, this country is, I don't know if we'll ever be satisfied with how things are, but we do our best to try. You know, we do our best to follow the Constitution and to create rights for ourselves. And I know that there's so much work to be done. We have a long way to go, but at this very moment, we are still free. And this is a great day to remember that we are free.
It's a great day to remember it, and I might add, you should remember that every day. Carolyn Hall, our most outrageous guest in our all-star team. Whenever I think of fun, who do I think I want to partner up with? Actually, two people, Carolyn Hall and Kirk Fitzpatrick. Kirk being our most talented guest, Carla our most outrageous guest. So whenever I think of celebration, I go to the C word, Carla Hillen. Mixing soul, jazz, and country twang, New York City's Carolyn Hall is a singer, songwriter, playing pop by her own set of rules. Carla has released 4 independent CDs under her own Moxie Entertainment label, and her latest CD, Supernova, showcases a charismatic vocal style that has drawn comparisons to Roberta Flack and Sheryl Crow. She expands her performance to the classroom. Carla's talent for online marketing has led her to teaching a workshop called Internet Famous, in which she teaches entrepreneurs and artists how to build their audience online. She has a popular blog and podcast for musicians at rockstarlifelessons.com. Over the years, she has parlayed her own internet fame into an international tribe of friends, followers, and fans. She is, as I said, our most outrageous guest. I love when she's on the show, so it makes me laugh. If she can make me laugh, she can make you laugh. So don't go anywhere, folks, and hear all about celebrating July 4th with all that we can offer you to make it a great weekend. So you want to download this show and play it at your barbecues. Okay, without further ado, I bring to you the one, the only, Carla Lynn Hall. Go ahead, Carla.
Na-na! Thank you. Thank you, Joyce Berry. Wow, what a great send-up that is. How do I compare with that? But I will try. I will try. As I said, we will try. So today is 4th of July. It's our day to declare our independence, or at least to remind yourselves, if you haven't already, that we are free. And again, free is it's an inside job. You know, so many of us, or some of us, think that we are locked And I think the only one who really blocks us the most, you know, that's ourselves. So we have to choose to be free. And we are still considered the freest country in the world. And it's so easy sometimes to think like, oh, we're not free because we don't have this or we don't have that, or other countries have this but we don't. But you know what? We are still free. We are free to complain about it. We are free to bitch about it. You know, that's also a big sign of our freedom, that we can complain about it. Some countries, if you are caught complaining, you die. So, you know, you have to have some perspective. But anyway, we were talking about fun and frolicking in the fourth, and I don't want to be totally, totally serious because I have some naughty stories to bring to the table today, Joyce.
Of course you do. I might have to give you another title, our most naughty guest.
That might probably, yes, I think I would fit that one as well. But I can't help it. So I'm naughty and I'm outrageous. And so today I want to make sure that the things that I talk about definitely have that. So one of the things I love to talk about on 4th of July is my annual story. It's a story about the time that I was arrested at a nude beach. A nude beach! I went to a nude beach one 4th of July. It was, I suppose that was my Declaration of Independence. You know, I'll tell you how far back the story started. I know,
I love
right?
It. You being at a nude beach is your Declaration of Independence. I love it, I love it, I love it. And you are the only one I know when you started off saying I was arrested on July 4th for being at a nude beach. The only one I know that's arrested and proud of it. Proud, my friend. She
yes.
is proud of it. Now you'll never have to wonder again why I named her our most outrageous guest. Go ahead. I can't
people?
Wait to hear the story that I've not heard either.
Oh, that's great. You haven't heard the story. Okay. So it kind of started like the idea of the story or the inspiration happened on September 11th, 2001. This is telling you how far back this story goes. And right after, you know, I lived in New York, and there was like this feeling of uncertainty in the world. And at that time, all I kept thinking was, oh, my God, if I die now, I would have never have skinny dipped again, and I really want to do that again. And I thought, oh, my God, I can't die. I have to go skinny dipping. It's just really weird sometimes, like, you know, where your mind goes. So anyway, I was at that time just thinking about where could I go skinny dipping. I had gone skinny dipping before and when I was in Washington State, but, you know, I'm in New York now. So the years go by and, you know, things kind of calm down, and I happened to see that in New York, or at least in New Jersey, there was a nude beach. In Sandy Hook, New Jersey, there is a nude beach, and I guess it's called Gunnison Beach. And I had heard about it, and I did all kind of research and found out how to get there, and it's about maybe 2 hours. And I thought, ah, I can go skinny dipping. So I wasn't thinking about being nude as much as, oh, I can go in the water and feel it against my skin, and oh, how lovely that would be. So that was my thought. So a few years somehow after that, I was dating someone who I happened to tell that idea to, and he was like, yeah, let's go. And I was like, well, okay. So we went. We went to the beach, and there was a sign there, and it's like, you know, caution, nude bathers appear after this sign. And we're like, oh, my God, we're here. We're really here. And I thought, okay, we're going to do this. And we go towards the beach, and we see, like, a lot of people there. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to go where the people are. I just want to get in the water. I don't care. So we go to, like, the side. We go to some other area. There were no lifeguards. There was nothing. It was totally, like, no one was there. It was totally awesome. So we put down, like, our towels, and we were just lying down, you know, and I'm putting on the I still have my clothes on, though. And, you know, I was putting on the what do you call that stuff, like the suntan lotion. And then
yes.
All of a sudden, there were like these sand fleas everywhere. I guess they just like the, I think I had like a coconut-scented suntan lotion. Anyway, so all of a sudden, that they were just biting us. And I'm just like, oh, I can't take it. Let's just get in the water. And I was just going to get in the water because I still had my bathing suit on. And then I happen to turn around, and I see the guy that I'm with, and he had whipped off all of his clothes, Joyce. And he's like, well, I didn't come all this way for nothing. And I was like, okay. So then I took my clothes off, too. And then we ran into the water, and we were, like, you know, having a good time. You know, we're just, like, in the water, do-do-do-do-do. And then, like, we see these two guys pass us. And like, they're smoking a joint, you know, but I mean, that doesn't really mean anything right now for you, but just know that those guys are there. But we're in the water, naked, it's just the two of us, and Cheech and Chong, you know, walking by, and then all of a sudden, Joyce, there is a truck, like a Ranger truck, and he's passing, well, he's coming down the beach, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe he's going somewhere else, but no, no, he stops the truck right in front of where we are, and then he gets out of the truck. And then he motions for us to get out of the water. Joyce, did I mention we were naked?
Here's where I'm confused. Before you go on, I thought I heard you say you're at a nude beach.
Yes.
If you are at a designated nude beach, what is the problem about being
exactly.
nude?
Well, see, there's another part that you might have missed. I said there was a part where there were a lot of people, but we're like, we don't want to go there where the people are. We just want to go to where the water is. So the guy calls us, you know, motions for us to come out, and we're like, oh, my God, you know, and I'm like, I have, like, long dreadlocks, so, like, I'm covering myself so I look like a mermaid, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, look him. Like, I'm trying to hold myself as if I do this all the time. Like, I am not fazed by this. I'm not fazed by being naked in the middle of the beach by some stranger guy who's, like, a park federal ranger, you know. I'm just like, you know, he had on shorts, by the way. And also, to his credit, he looked me straight in the eyes, at least that I could see. Like, he wasn't, like, ogling me. He looked me straight in the eyes. So basically, he tells us we have the possibility of having two infractions that he could arrest us for. The first is that where we are right now, there was no lifeguard. That we were like we were not at the designated place. And the other part was that where we were was not the nude beach.
Oh, that was the part. I knew there was something in all of this. Wow.
Oh, my God. I love that stuff, but he let us go, and so I guess it's not so much arrested as accosted, but yeah, so, you know.
No, if you weren't booked, you weren't arrested, so basically
yeah.
It was a warning.
Yes, but it's a great story.
It is a great story, and I love the way you embellished it. So for those of you that are not going to a new beach this weekend, we'll share other things, other stories. So don't go anywhere, folks. But first, let us share with you why you should be listening to us every day.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day. A way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner. Great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, I know you want to hear more from the outrageous Carla Lynn Hall, but first let me share two poems that are by one of my best friends, one of the best writers in the world, Anonymous. Freedom's Price. Today we celebrate freedom, thanks to those who came before, those brave men who fought and died in each and every war. Freedom always comes at a price, and while we celebrate, we should tip our hats to the heroes who made our country great. And another little poem by Anonymous, Red, White, and Blue. Hamburgers and hot dogs cooked on the grill, fireworks in the night giving us all a thrill. The country all decked in red, white, and blue, friends all saying happy 4th of July to you. I thought they were kind of cute and I wanted to share it. But let me just give you a few jokes and then we'll go back to Carla. I know you can't wait to hear more from her talking about the outrageous people and our history. These were from kids. Eloise, age 9, these wants to know, what did one flag say to the other flag? Carl, if you have any thought what the answer might be, just jump in. What did one flag say to the other flag?
I'm waving at you.
Oh, God, you're good. It says nothing. It just waved. You got it. From Tom, who's 8, he said, how is a healthy person like the United States? How is a healthy person like the U.S.? He's 8 years old, Tom.
I have no idea. How
they both have good constitutions.
Oh!
Rachel, age 8, says, what dance was very popular in 1776? What dance was very popular in 76?
It's not the robot.
Time's up. It's the independence.
Oh, okay.
Christy at 14 says, where was the Declaration of Independence signed?
At the bottom.
Correct.
Yay!
Tom P., that's 8 years old, said, did you hear the one about the Liberty Bell? And someone responded, yeah, it cracked me up. And finally, Big Al, do they have a 4th of July in England? And the answer is yes. That's how they got from the 3rd to the 5th. So I thought they were very, very cute. Okay, back to you, Carla Lynn Hall. What gossip, what dirt do you have on the famous people in history?
Well, when we first started coming up with ideas for the 4th, you know, we usually do fun things, and it's Friday, and Friday is also your fun day. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, besmirch anyone's character or anything like that. But when you look in the history books, when after people are long gone, you know, presidents, for example, our forefathers, for example, when they are long gone and dead, and you really start to find out about, you know, they were human and that they did things, I can't help but share what I learned. I can't help it, Joyce. I can't help it. And, you know,
Share away. Go ahead.
So I mean, the most recent scandal that everyone has, you know, heard of was Clinton. You know, Clinton in the blue dress and Monica Lewinsky and, you know, and the intern and that whole business. But that wasn't the first. And then, you know, we also think about JFK. But, you know, even JFK wasn't necessarily the first statesman, politician, you know, to have a sex scandal. And by doing some of the research that I enjoy doing so much, I found out that, you know, that it's been going on probably as long as you know, humans have been around. And when you think about the fact that power is its own, you know, aphrodisiac, you know, when a powerful man enters the room, you know, women love that. So, you know, it's even if he's married, you know, some women will still flock to that man. So you have to understand that just because we don't hear about things, I think all recently with when Obama's been running, we've been learning a lot more about the presidential, you know, that whole candidate process and what we know and what we don't know about the president. And I feel like we really started to learn more during this re-election were just this last presidential run, and you really got to see more about some of the machinations, you know, how things are covered up. Like when people found out that the president had smoked, and people are like, oh my God, he smoked. But the thing is, there's this whole wall that the media uses to keep, you know, information away from the public, and I totally understand that. But again, after people are long dead and they're gone, then the truth comes out. You know, my grandmother had a saying, you know, what was in the dark always comes to the light, and it is no different even for presidents. And some of the stories that I will tell you might have heard already, Joyce, but, you know, maybe you haven't. But I can't help it. I'm gonna spill beans now. Okay, so that's the setup. So we were talking, well, I was mentioning JFK recently. Like, people heard, you know, have heard about that, you know, because of Marilyn Monroe, but JFK basically had a lot of affairs. He slept around a lot. And one story that I just heard today, apparently it was in the New York Post, I think, a couple of months ago, that Jackie Bouvier Kennedy, she had known that JFK's, you know, philandering was such, you know, she knew, and she wasn't even sure whether or not she could deal with it. Like, you know, he's a cool guy and all, but I don't know if I really want to deal with that. And apparently there was a moment when she just maybe had, like, she had caught him doing, you know, like one more thing, and she was just going to just say, you know, forget it. And the Kennedy family allegedly, reportedly, supposedly gave her $1 million to stay married and quiet. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. So that's like one story. So I'm sure that there's more other juicy bits to that story. But I think, you know, people have heard about the whole JFK thing, so that's not necessarily that's not necessarily news. But now, you've heard of Lyndon B. Johnson as a president, right, Joyce?
Yes, that's a silly question.
Yeah, I know,
course.
I know. But did you know that Lyndon B. Johnson, he is said to have had an enormous Johnson? Think about
it. Listen to her. Of all the important facts, this is what she comes up with. Go ahead.
Oh, no, but it gets deeper than that. Because, now, there's like different stories that are out there. And just so you know, I'm sharing from one of the sites that I found, and this is like a brief history of presidential sex. It's on rumpus.net, so you could look it up and you could even see, you know, all the citations and details. But I thought this was very interesting. So the other thing now, and I have to, the only thing I'd have to do a little more research, is to, I wonder if people call it the Johnson because of Lyndon B. Johnson. I don't know. But it's they said that he would also pull it out at moments to sort of prove his dominance, and that he actually liked to suggest skinny dipping with other world leaders before meeting in order to establish his mastery. Can you believe that?
That is pretty incredible.
I know. And I just don't even, you know, I there's no way I could really prove that, but that was just such a bit that I could not resist sharing. Okay, so now another famous person that I think that people have probably gotten to understand that this happened was Thomas Jefferson. He was known to have a longtime love affair with Sally Hemings, who was his slave. Now, and then it wasn't exactly an affair because this was like many years after his wife Martha died. But behind closed doors, they lived supposedly, allegedly, reportedly as, you know, as man and wife. But she was actually his slave, you know, there's children and other things like that, and it's one of those stories that only recently has sort of been making the waves, and people have been hearing about it. And, you know, some people will say, well, you know, how can it really be love because she was a slave? But, you know, between a man and a woman, you can't really say. And, of course, we weren't there, so, you know, we don't know. But that's just, like, that's another story that has been making, you know, so I won't say that it's exactly naughty, but it's definitely one of those salacious things that people, and especially back in those days, you know, would be very scandalized by that. And you know what? Speaking of scandal, I learned that Sally the slave, she was actually Martha, the woman who died, Thomas Jefferson's wife who had died. They were half sisters because Martha's father enjoyed sleeping with his slaves. How you like that? How you like that? So I mean, just, you know, I mean, that's a side note, but you know, this is the stuff that people did and still do, and you know, stuff happens, and it happens even with presidents. You know, no one is immune to sex and desire and lust.
That's true. No one is immune from any of that, including you, Carla Lynn Hall. That's how you get, as you said, picked upon on this new beach. Before we continue, Carla, people are already wondering, who is this outrageous lady? So why don't you give them your website?
Sure, of course. My website is rockstarlifelessons.com, which is actually going through some renovations. You can find me on Facebook at Carla Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, the E is silent, Hall, Carla Lynn Hall. I also have a musical duo partner by the name of Curtis, and you can catch all the things that we're doing at the facebook.com/Curtis and Carla page, and there's also Curtis and Carla, which just links to everything, whether it's music or videos or what other great things we're doing. Oh, by the way, a week from today is the 4th, so next Friday is the 11th, Curtis and I will be playing at the Starving Artist Cafe in the city on City Island, which is in the Bronx, and we just got that. It's very exciting, and I think that brings us up to date with me. Thank you.
So give that website one more time, how to find out more about Carla Lynn Hall.
Okay, I'd say go to rockstarlifelessons.com. And if you don't want to go there, you can just go to Facebook and look me up and you know, send me a message that way, and or the Curtis and Carla page.
Facebook, absolutely go to check her out, Carla Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Hall. Carla Lynn Hall on Facebook. Do check that out. My official website, Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, JoyceBarry.com. I'm a success coach. I'm a life coach. I'm a master coach. A master coach is one who coaches other coaches, who coaches other coaches, indeed. You will find testimonials from people across the country about my work, and you might want to check out the articles I've written, a lot of interesting data on JoyceBarry.com. Here are just a few of the endorsements.
Joyce Barry is an outstanding success coach. She is a master coach, the best of the best. Here are just a few of her clients who want to endorse her. Marlon Brando.
Hiring Joyce as a coach is an offer you can't refuse.
President Bill Clinton.
I did not have sex with that woman. I did not have sex with Joyce. She is my coach.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yo, Adrian, Joyce is the best coach, you know. She helped me train for Rocky.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I hired the Joycenator because no matter how much I may drive her crazy, I know she'll be back.
President Ronald Reagan.
Well, Joyce, Nancy and I just love you. There you go again. Win one for the Barry.
Elvis Presley.
I'm all shook up about hiring Joyce as a coach. I'll get a little less conversation, a little more coaching.
Jack Nicholson.
If you can handle the truth, you want Joyce as your coach.
Johnny Carson.
I can hire Joyce as a coach? I did not know that. That is wild. Did you know that, Ed?
Charlie Sheen.
Winning. That's because Joyce is my coach. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Woody Allen.
Are you crazy? This whole time I haven't had Joyce Barry as a coach? You kidding me?
Hi, Ted Siuba, and I think and grow rich. If you were thinking about hiring Joyce Barry as your coach, just do it, and we'll grow rich together.
And even Joyce Barry herself.
What do Olympic athletes have that you don't have? A coach. Hire me and have this be your best year ever. If not now, when? I want that gold medal. I want to hire me.
Email coachjoyce@AOL.com. That's coachjoyce@AOL.com.
Coach Joyce here. Be sure when you send that email, what you want to do is put radio show in the subject line. I get hundreds of emails, and those are the ones I give priority. When I see radio show in the subject line, put today's date, the date of the show that you heard about us. Put that in the subject line, and I'll be happy to give you a free consultation to see if having a coach is right for you at this time and to see if having a home business resonates with you at this time. And if it does, I'll be able to provide a very specific information and the companies that I participate in. So you want to put CoachJoyce@AOL.com. Send us an email, put the date in the subject line that you heard the show and radio show, and be happy to talk to you and give you a free, no obligation consultation. Okay, what I want to do is, and we're going to come back to Carlo, you know, with more outrageousness, but I want to give some 4th of July trivia. I always enjoy doing this with you, Carlo, because you're one of the few people that it's actually fun when you get something wrong. You don't have ego in the way, and you can just enjoy the trivia with me. So I have tons of trivia, so we'll do a little at a time and go back to you as well.
Okay.
I'll give the question, and then you answer. You'll only have like 10 seconds before I give the answer. So usually I'll say the answer is, if there's a pause, to give you folks a chance to think about it. So this is the first 10 trivia questions. Okay, Carla Lynn Hall. I always like to see if she gets more right than I do. The official name of July 4th is the 4th of July. True or false?
False.
Why is that?
Because it's Independence Day.
You are correct, Carla Lynn Hall. I actually believe both were official. I did believe, and we say, you know, what are you doing on July 4th? I considered that comparable. So you are correct. The holiday commemorates the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 76, declaring independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. True or false?
True.
Correct. What is not commonly associated with July 4th? Not associated. Fireworks, football, barbecues.
Football.
Correct. When did the war for independence begin against England? April 1775, July 2nd, 76, January 76.
What was the first one?
When did the war for independence begin against England? April 1775, July 2nd, 76, January 76.
75, the first one, A.
Correct. The Lee Resolution, or sometimes Lee's Resolution, was an act of the Second Continental Congress declaring the 13 colonies to be independent of the Kingdom of Great Britain. It was proposed by on June 1, 76, after receiving instructions from the Virginia Convention and its president, Edmund Pendleton, who proposed the act, the Lee Resolution. Was it Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, Robert E. Lee of Virginia, Light Horse Henry Lee of Virginia?
What's the first name?
Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, Robert E. Lee of Virginia, the Lee Resolution, Light Horse Henry Lee of Virginia.
The third one, Light Horse.
You're wrong on that. I was wrong with the second one, of Robert E. Lee of Virginia, and the answer is Richard Henry Lee of Virginia. Robert E. Lee is such a popular name, I thought for sure that was it. Okay. So far I believe that is the only one you had wrong. So two wrong for me, one wrong for you. Who wrote the second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable epic in the history of America? I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Who wrote that? Was it George Washington, John Adams, or John Hancock?
George Washington, George Adams, John Hancock.
John Adams, John Hancock.
George
Pardon
Washington.
Me?
George Washington.
Yay, we tied, because you're wrong on that. It's John Adams. So we're 2-for-2. We usually get it about the same, actually. Mm-hmm. Independence Day fireworks are often accompanied by patriotic songs. What is not a patriotic song? God Bless America, America the Beautiful, the 1812 Overture.
The 1812 Overture.
Correct. What year did July 4th become a paid federal holiday for government employees? Paid holiday, 1870, 1941, 1976.
1941.
Correct. Both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, two founding fathers of the U.S., and the only two men who signed the Declaration of Independence to become president, died on the same day. What was the day? July 2nd, 1826, July 4th, 1826, August 2nd, 1826.
I'm going to go for the July 4th one.
And that is correct. Wow. We both had
two
wrong.
I think I read this somewhere.
Yes, I did as well. Wait one second. I had three wrong. Did I give you the one, when did the representatives of Congress, the Second Continental Congress, sign the Declaration of Independence? Did I give you that one? July 2nd, 76, July 4th, 76, August 2nd, 76.
I think so. I don't
What's
remember.
The answer?
Oh, I wrote checks. I don't know. Now I can get it
no,
wrong.
No, but I'm giving it to you again. When did they sign it? July 2nd, 76, July 4th, 76, August 2nd, 76.
Oh, when did they sign it? Oh, July 4th, 76.
And you got that wrong, and I got that wrong, so we are tied. Yeah, I think I had skipped over that inadvertently. So you had three wrong, I had three wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so very good, very good. I have a lot more trivia.
So when was it?
Oh, I thought I said, I'm sorry. It was signed August 2nd, 76. In other words, they came up with it July 4th. It was signed on August 2nd, 76.
Oh, so we're celebrating the day that they came up with the idea.
July 4th, 76, right, when they declared independence.
That's
right.
It.
I had that one wrong. I had August 2nd. And July 4th, I knew it's Independence Day, but I also believed it was, people refer to it often as the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And then we both had the Lee resolution wrong. Okay, very good, very good. You know what I'd like you to talk about next? You said that Ben Franklin had an incredible message to... what was the message? What was the lesson he was supposed to be putting out?
Yes,
and it had nothing
yes.
to do with light bulbs.
Oh, my goodness, nothing at all. Actually, Ben Franklin happens to be one of my favorite United States forefathers or founding fathers because, I mean, he was a very smart man. He did a lot for his country, but at the same time, he was a whore. he was a statesman, you know, they sent him to France and to do all the schmoozing and all that. And he discovered electricity with the light bulb and the key and all that. But he was definitely a ladies' man, and he was a rascal. And in 1745, he wrote this really great essay. And, you know, he did a lot of small self-published things or just that and this one in itself, I think it was limited to he created pamphlets, like that's just what he would do, and he wrote this little pamphlet, and it was privately printed for the Franklinianna, yeah, like Ben Franklin society in 1929. That's when this other person found it, but anyway, it was strictly limited to 500 copies. And so Benjamin Franklin wrote this essay in 1745, and it was called Advice to a Young Man on the Choice of Mistress. So Ben Franklin, in this essay, he's basically advising a young man to get himself an older mistress rather than a young one, and he goes through these reasons, and you know, you think, wow, this is Ben Franklin. That is why it is his mug on a $100 bill. I can't be mad at that. Okay, so reason number one, Joyce. This is why a young man should get himself an older mistress. Number one, because they have more knowledge of the world and their minds are better stored with observations, their conversation is more improving and more lastingly agreeable. Meaning they've been around a while and they have things to talk about and they're agreeable and they have good conversation. Older women, love it. Okay. Number two, reason number two why to choose an older mistress. Because when women cease to be handsome, they study to be good. To maintain their influence, yes, yes, exactly, he wrote this. To maintain their influence over men, they supply the diminution of beauty by an augmentation of utility, meaning, you know, what they lose in beauty, they become more, like, usable. They learn to do 1,000 services, small and great, and are the most tender and useful of friends when you are sick. Thus, they continue amiably, and hence there is hardly such thing to be found as an old woman who is not a good woman. Wow.
Very good. And Carla, I don't know how many there are. I don't need to know how many there are, but I'm just going to let you do the top five because
top five.
I want to
get
back to the trivia.
Okay. Then this one is actually pretty funny. I'll just go around. This one happens to be number three. Because there is no hazard of children, which irregularly produced may be attended with much inconvenience, meaning you can't get them pregnant. let's see. So that's three. I'll give you number five. Because in every animal that walks upright, the deficiency of the fluids that fill the muscles appear first in the highest part, meaning the face grows lank and wrinkled first, then the neck, then the breast and the arms, the lower parts continuing and plump as ever. So covering all of that with a basket and regarding only what is below the girdle, it is impossible of two women to tell an old woman from a young one. And as in the dark, all cats are gray. The pleasure of corporal enjoyment with an old woman is at least equal and frequently superior. Every knack being in practice capable of improvement.
And you get one more keeping in mind. I said keeping in mind it's a family show today.
Okay, fine. That's fine. And number eight, and it's the last one, eighth and lastly, the reason, they are so grateful.
Yes,
you gotta love Ben Franklin.
Yes. And she's sharing that as outrageous as it might be because he is one of our forefathers. Okay, folks, I want to go back to where you can test your knowledge of trivia. So as we're winding down here, I really like this is a great way, I believe, to learn something through trivia. What was the main reason? I'll give you a chance, Carla, to answer. And if you don't, I'll just say to you folks, and the answer is giving you a second to think about it. What was the main reason the U.S. These are not multiple choice, by the way, so these are a bit harder. The main reason the U.S. declared independence.
The tax, like the to not be taxed on their tea by the governed by British.
Correct. We declared independence because we were taxed without representation. How many people signed the Declaration of Independence?
I don't remember the number.
56. In what city was the Declaration of Independence signed?
Philadelphia.
Correct. What are the first seven words of the Declaration of Independence?
The first which one?
Seven words of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
When in the course of human events, but it was a good guess. Who approved the Declaration of Independence?
George Washington.
The Second Continental Congress approved it. Whose signature is the largest on the Declaration of Independence?
John Hancock.
Correct. Who was the King of England when the colonies declared their independence?
George?
Wow, George III, you're correct. How many people were you're going to say good guess, right? How many people were living in the U.S. in 76, in the U.S.?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I have no idea.
I didn't either. It's 2.5 million people. I didn't know
wow.
it either.
Wow.
Where does the word patriotism come from?
Good question. I don't know.
Comes from the Latin patria, meaning fatherland or homeland. How many hot dogs are consumed on July 4th each year by Americans?
Millions. I don't know.
150 million. How much money is spent on fireworks every year?
Ooh, that's a good question. 200 million.
Not bad. 211 million.
Wow.
Who I didn't know this one either. It's interesting. Who invented fireworks?
Oh. I don't know.
The Chinese. How many people have cookouts on July 4th?
A lot of people. I don't know how many.
A lot of people. over 74 million. When did the Liberty Bell crack?
July 5th, 1776.
The first Liberty Bell cracked when it was being tested. It and the second bell were remelted and forged again. The third Liberty Bell cracked in 1835. We mentioned this earlier. When did July 4th become a national holiday?
That was 1941, something like that.
The 4th of July became an unpaid holiday for federal workers in 1870. In 1938, it became a paid holiday, and in 1941, it was declared a federal holiday. Very good. Okay. As we are winding down here, let's get some more questions. What is our national bird?
Eagle.
Correct. Where is the Liberty Bell located?
Philadelphia.
Correct. Does the Liberty Bell still ring today?
I don't remember. I've seen it. I don't know. No.
You are correct. I would have said yes. I thought it did. It rang from 78 to 1835 when it cracked. How did the name Uncle Sam originate?
I don't remember. I wasn't there.
The name Uncle Sam originated in 1812 when a meat packer by the name of Sam Wilson provided meat to the U.S. Army. Somebody saw the meat shipments that were stamped with U.S. and joked that the initials stood for Uncle Sam. They saw U.S. that the initials stood for Uncle Sam, and the name stuck. What is the name of the national anthem?
The Star-Spangled Banner.
Correct. Who wrote the words to the national anthem?
Francis Scott Key.
Correct. Who wrote the music for the national anthem?
I don't know.
I don't know that either, so you're not alone.
I
would say most
stuff.
Most people would know Francis Scott Key. They wouldn't know that the music came from an old English drinking song named Anacreon in Heaven. Under what circumstances did the Star Spangled Banner become the national anthem of the USA?
He wrote it during some kerfuffle, but at what time, at what point did it become the national anthem? You know what? I guess I don't know. I know when it was written, but when it became like the national anthem, like someone else had to agree on it, I don't know. When was that?
In 1912, President Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, made an executive order. Then in 1931, by a congressional resolution. I certainly didn't know that either.
Okay.
How did the U.S. get the motto, In God We Trust?
I don't know. But I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did you ever say who wrote the music for Francis Scott Key? Did you ever tell us who was the person? I don't remember.
Wait a minute. Who wrote the music? It came from an old English
drinking song
named Anacreon in Heaven.
Oh, but there's no name. Okay, the name. Okay, so it's an old drinking song, meaning like Anacreon. Anonymous. Anonymous.
No. Wait, let me do that again. Hold on a second. An English drinking... Oh, I see. The name of that song was Anna Crayon in Heaven, but it doesn't say who. Correct.
Ah,
that was the name
okay.
of that song. You are correct. Excuse me. How did the U.S. get the motto, In God We Trust?
I don't know. How?
Francis Scott Key urged the adoption of In God Is Our Trust as the national motto. The U.S. adopted the motto In God We Trust by law on July 30, 1956 by President Dwight Eisenhower. Any comments about any of that, Carla? And then
yes,
I'll give a
actually.
Few more quotes
yeah,
and wrap up.
Yeah, I had
up.
No idea that Francis Scott Key was so connected that he even had the, you know, he had the connection to not only offer a song up, but to even say, hey, I think the national motto should be, you know, that God is our, what was the original thing? God is our trust? God.
Yeah, and God We Trust is what it became. The
but
original
you,
thing was, in wait a minute, In God Is Our Trust, and then it went to In God We Trust.
Interesting. That is fantastic to know that Francis Scott Key had that kind of juice, you know, that kind of power. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a couple of more great, great quotes, and then we'll let you give the final words, Carla Lynn Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Those who won our independence believe liberty to be the secret of happiness and courage to be the secret of liberty. Louis D. Brandeis said that. I love my freedom. I love my America. Jesse Lane Adams made that quote famous, but something that I would imagine that most people just say. I really like this by James Blaine. The U.S. is the only country with a known birthday. I think that's very cute. John Dickinson, then join hand in hand, brave Americans all. By uniting we stand, by dividing we fall. William Faulkner, the great author, says we must be free not because we claim freedom, but because we practice it. And then Samuel F. Smith from America, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Okay, Carla, great show that you contributed so much to today. What would you like to say in wrapping up?
I would just those quotes, they just sort of, you know, remind me again, that we are living in the greatest country of the world. And yes, I know, there's so much work to be done. And I've seen things this week that have blown my mind. And there's things in the media that make you say, oh, my God, but where the hell are you going to go? You know, what we need to do is do what we can where we are. Do your best to be good citizens and to do your best to be honest with your neighbor and to fight for what's right, to fight that good fight, even if that just means being kind to someone who is negative to you. And this is what we do. We think we're free, but again, freedom and security, it is an inside job. You have to believe that you are free to do what it is that you came to this world to do. And when you are feeling, you know, free and you feel that you have liberty to do what you want, then you can go after what it is that you really want to go for. You know, so many people, they might be in a position that they might not want to be in or a job that they don't want to be in. But remember, we have the choice. We have the freedom. You might think that, oh, no, I couldn't do this. Oh, I couldn't do that. But that's your own limitation. So take this day to remind yourself that you are indeed free and you can break out of those self-limiting beliefs and go for what it is that you really, really want and to follow your purpose. That is my declaration of independence for anyone listening. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now.
Okay, very good, Carla Lynn Hall. Thank you for joining us in our 4th of July celebration, in our Independence Day celebration. I have a few words of advice to all of you out there as you launch this great, great weekend. One, really play it safe. Do not drink and drive. Do not be in heavy traffic and then try to cut people off. Your life is worth more than the 30 seconds you'll save by trying to cut someone off. And most importantly, to really have fun this weekend, I'm advising you to drink lie, steal, and swear. You got that right, folks. Right from Coach Joyce. Drink, lie, steal, and swear. Drink from the cup of prosperity, but always remember those less fortunate than you and act to help them. Lie down tonight and give thanks for all the blessings you have, all the opportunities you have, and all the wonderful people you have in your life. Steal time away from your busy schedule to spend quality time with those people in your life who are special to you, who inspire you, who make you feel good, who are a role model for you. Swear that you will say something especially nice to someone today. Express gratitude to someone today and pay it forward to someone today. Smile a lot, laugh a lot. Joy and happiness are contagious. And then I say, enjoy. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, I appreciate you all for being a part of our celebration show. Fun when I see you in the chat room, when I see you on the studio lines, that I know you're out there supporting our show, listening to our show. So be sure to drink, lie, steal, and swear as you head out for this weekend. And just really, really think of safety. Don't play with fireworks. Just enjoy them. Go out also and celebrate the weekend. Celebrate your life, celebrate your friends, celebrate your opportunities. Mostly celebrate the miracles in your life that will come your way if only you are open to receiving them. Here is our celebration song.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again, as Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and friends.